Tonight, critical condition, a high-stakes showdown now underway over Obamacare. Republicans vowing to repeal and replace, Democrats vowing to fight. What does it mean for the 20 million Americans whose coverage is hanging in the balance? Off the rails, a pair of frightening commuter crashes, nearly 150 injured in all. What happened? Pillow Talk, a rude awakening from the Better Business Bureau, a popular product heavily advertised on TV, goes from an A-plus rating to an F, word of a new barrage of consumer complaints. First baby at 50, pop superstar Janet Jackson gives birth, shining a light on older moms. Tonight, a reality check on getting pregnant at that age. And WizKid, a Rhodes Scholar inspiring so many with autism, all the way to Oxford. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. It's looking more and more like Obamacare. As we know, it is on life support tonight as a Republican majority in Congress today took its first steps toward pulling the plug and making good on its promise to repeal a signature achievement of the Obama administration. 20 million Americans are covered by the law known as the Affordable Care Act, but it became apparent today Republicans don't yet have a plan to replace their coverage. Today, Democrats, mindful of that big hurdle, huddled with President Obama to map out their own strategy to save the law. We get details from NBC's Hallie Jackson on Capitol Hill. Hallie, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. Today's private pep talks for both sides of the aisle intended to help them pitch the public on whether the health care law should live or die. The battle that could stretch years, beginning now in earnest. A rare simultaneous showdown, just a few minutes and a few hundred feet separating President Obama and Vice President-elect Mike Pence, rallying their troops for congressional combat.
Make America sick again? Is that what the Republicans want to do?
We've got to fix this by replacing it with something better.
For the GOP, killing the law is politically popular, but policy-wise, a puzzle.
You're going to get health care at a much lower price.
And while Donald Trump's taking aim at the law overall, today tweeting, it will fall of its own weight, he still wants to keep coverage for people with pre-existing conditions and let those under 26 stay on their parents' coverage. The catch? Those popular pieces are paid for by the unpopular mandate requiring everyone to get insurance.
You can't keep the good parts of the ACA and remove the rest of the law and still have it work.
So what will a replacement plan look like? Not even Republicans know for sure.
Within 6 months, we should be able to put pen to paper and have a replacement plan. Certainly, we're not doing that on day one.
It'll only take 51 votes to tear down the law. Republicans can do that on their own. But to build it back up, 60 votes, meaning they'd need Democrats to help.
When you break something that's difficult to begin with, you're going to own it in a big way.
Are you prepared to own the political fallout, potentially?
I think the most important thing for the president-elect and for the leaders here in Congress is that we keep our word to the American people.
Today's strategy sessions, just the start. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Washington.
This is Tom Costello in historic Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, where Deborah Starry manages a Civil War-themed art gallery. She's covered under Obamacare, but having voted for Trump, she wants to see it replaced.
What's not working about Obamacare for you?
The red tape. It should be as simple as me paying the premium, me going to a doctor that I want to go to.
She admits she didn't have insurance before Obamacare and her premiums have stayed under $300 a month, but her deductible has gone from $1,700 to $4,500.
And that's a lot of money.
For me, it is.
Meanwhile, 600 miles away in Crestwood, Kentucky, the Abel Pearsall family voted for Clinton. Obamacare covered the cost of having a baby. Losing that coverage, they say, would be a big blow to their hopes for the family farm.
Like most small business owners, we're kind of bootstrapping this. We've been at it a few years.
Nationwide, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, has brought the percentage of Americans without health insurance down from 16% to nearly 11%. Premiums have jumped dramatically in some states, but nationally they're up 20%, slower than the rate before Obamacare took effect.
If health insurers feel that everything is uncertain, will they drop out of the ACA marketplaces?
Deborah Story admits she's conflicted. She wants Obamacare repealed, but she needs the coverage.
And I have no issue with paying my fair share, but it's got to be a fair share that I can afford.
In its simplest form, that is the very dilemma facing the new Republican Congress. Tom Costello, NBC News, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Now to our NBC News exclusive report on President-elect Trump's escalating feud with U.S. intelligence agencies, including a new firestorm over his comments about controversial WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, and brand new details about his upcoming briefing on the intelligence conclusion he's raised doubts about, whether Russia tried to influence the election. NBC News senior investigative correspondent Cynthia McFadden has new information tonight.
Today, Vice President-elect Mike Pence weighing in on what seems to be growing distrust between Donald Trump and the intelligence community he will soon lead.
I think given some of the intelligence failures of recent years, the president-elect's made it clear to the American people that he's skeptical about conclusions from the bureaucracy, and I think the American people hear him loud and clear.
The latest round of sparring began last night, with Trump chiding the intelligence community about postponing his briefing on evidence they say proves that Russia interfered in the U.S. election. The intelligence briefing on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday, perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange. Official Washington was outraged. Two intel agency spokespersons contradicting Mr. Trump, telling NBC News last night the meeting had always been scheduled for Friday. But the facts are not that clear. A senior intelligence official tells NBC that Donald Trump's transition team was told to expect a briefing on the Russian hacking case early this week. But yesterday, Mr. Trump was told the Russian report was not ready. The dust-up about the meeting's timing is just more evidence of the strain developing between the president-elect and the intelligence community. Adding to the overall misery, Trump quoting WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange this morning, denying that the Russians gave them the hacked Democratic emails. Said Russians did not give him the info. But this morning, Republican Speaker Paul Ryan spoke out strongly against Assange.
I think the guy is a sycophant for Russia.
It's absolutely astonishing. Who would have ever imagined you would have a Republican president-elect siding with a accused sex offender, Julian Assange, of WikiLeaks, someone who has implacable hostility to the United States, and every day it's a new denigration of the intelligence community. Every day he's only damaging his own prospects for a successful presidency. It's really just astonishing.
President Obama is expected to be briefed on the final Russia report tomorrow. One senior official, a career intelligence officer directly involved, says if intelligence was merely reporting the obvious, we wouldn't need it. Analysts need to admit degrees of uncertainty, and Mr. Trump needs to trust the professionals, all of which is becoming increasingly complex.
It is still unclear who will brief Mr. Trump, although it is expected to be the leaders of the various intelligence agencies themselves. The meeting will take place at Trump Tower.
Esther. All right, Cynthia, thank you much. Now to the high drama playing out in South Carolina in a courtroom where Dylann Roof, an avowed white supremacist, is representing himself as a jury decides whether to sentence him to life or death for a horrific mass murder spree inside a historic Charleston church. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has details.
Jurors had already seen these videos of Dylann Roof planning his massacre and unanimously found him guilty. But today, during sentencing, the convicted mass murderer spoke to them in person for the first time. "I'm not going to lie to you," he said. "There's nothing wrong with me psychologically." He offered no apology for the killing of 9 black churchgoers at the historic Emmanuel AME Church. Instead, prosecutors read aloud portions of a journal Roof kept after his arrest. "I am not sorry," he wrote. "I have not shed a tear for the innocent people I killed." The prosecution's first witness, the widow of the Reverend Clemente Pinckney.
"Every day, I think about him every day."
The courtroom was tense as prosecutors played her 911 call as she huddled in a locked office. After hearing the gunshots, her 6-year-old daughter whispered, "Daddy's dead?" "No, baby, no," her mother responded through tears. But Pinckney knew her husband of 16 years was gone. After the emotional testimony, Roof chose not to cross-examine her. Mental health experts say it's exceedingly rare for defendants to represent themselves in death penalty cases.
Just because he's been found competent to stand trial doesn't mean he hasn't been found to have a serious mental illness. He does fit the profile of somebody with schizophrenia who doesn't understand he's ill.
During her testimony, the prosecutor asked Reverend Pinckney's widow why she thinks Roof spared her. She said, to continue his legacy.
Inside the courtroom, her strength was a sharp contrast to the soft-spoken Roof, who says he's representing himself to prevent his lawyers from revealing his mental health tests. Prosecutors plan to call more than three dozen witnesses in the coming days before a jury decides whether Roof should be put to death. Lester.
Gabe Gutierrez. Thank you, Gabe. Now to that pair of frightening commuter crashes today, both in the Northeast. The first during the morning rush in Brooklyn, New York. Over 100 people were injured when a Long Island Railroad train hit a bumping block, lifting it off the tracks. None of the injuries were life-threatening there. And in Philadelphia, early this afternoon, dozens hurt when two trolleys collided. The good news, all the injuries in that incident were minor. The family of a teenage student shown on video being body slammed by a school police officer is now speaking out. They've pulled her out of school and say she's suffering injuries in the aftermath of the incident caught on camera. That officer is now on paid leave. Let's get the latest on all this from NBC's Kerry Sanders.
A day after 5'2", 105-pound Jasmine Darwin was body slammed by a uniformed police officer in a high school cafeteria, the 15-year-old today complaining of body aches and a throbbing head.
It's hard to look at.
Yes. Horrible to watch.
The 9-second video taken in Roseville, North Carolina, followed a fight between two girls, one of them Jasmine's older sister.
Can the officer say, look, she put herself in the middle of a
no,
fight?
No, it doesn't matter. He shouldn't have did it to a child.
The family with their attorney, Freddie Rabner, today.
I'm not naive enough to think that there's not times where officers have to get physical. A 100-pound 15-year-old girl who's not even involved in the conflict is just not one of those times, Kerry.
School resource officer Ruben De Los Santos is on paid administrative leave tonight. He's been unavailable for comment. This video was shot at the same high school about 3 months ago. The mother of the boy says her son was manhandled and then pepper sprayed by different school resource officers. It reflects a national trend, one or more violent incidents in 65% of America's schools. Tonight, Jasmine Darwin and her attorney went to the police department to file a complaint. Her mother says her daughter will never go back to that high school. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Roseville, North Carolina.
Millions in the Southeast from Atlanta to Raleigh, North Carolina are bracing for a new blast of winter weather. Parts of the region may see several inches of snow from Friday night into Saturday, up to 8 inches in North Carolina. Combined with plunging temperatures, sleet, and freezing rain, it could all add up to a nightmare for travelers. Still ahead here tonight, maybe you've seen the infomercials for these popular pillows. Why the makers may now have some sleepless nights ahead. Also, superstar Janet Jackson, a mom for the first time at 50. Tonight, a reality check if you're thinking about joining the growing trend, having a baby later in life. The infomercials are all over TV. Maybe you've even flipped past them yourself. But now the Better Business Bureau is cracking down on the makers of the popular MyPillow, accusing the company of deceptive advertising. NBC's Miguel Almaguer explains.
Your neck straight, you get the best sleep.
The infomercial and its now infamous sales pitch.
When you do, I'll give you a second one absolutely free.
Too good to be true? Yes, says the Better Business Bureau, which is giving the MyPillow maker a reason to lose sleep. The BBB revoking the Minnesota company's accreditation. Its A-plus status now changed to an F rating after hundreds of complaints about deceptive advertising.
This was an example of a retailer trying to have consumers perceive a great bargain that actually wasn't there.
The BBB says MyPillow never really went on sale. The price per pillow never changed. The organization says pictures didn't match products, and so-called full warranties left some consumers paying for a refund.
Hello, I'm
company CEO Mike Lindell, the man behind the pillows, sold 25 million times over, says he is disappointed.
You go from an A-plus to an F because they don't want me to continue an ad that's very helpful to my customers for Christmas. I think it's the most disturbing thing I could ever think of.
Tonight, MyPillow may still be a popular product, but the corporate dreams of an A rating have now become a nightmare. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
We are back in a moment with the iconic store chain shutting down locations all across the nation. Tonight, one of the nation's biggest names in retail says it's cutting back on stores. Macy's will move forward with closing 68 locations and slashing 10,000 jobs. The announcement comes after a disappointing holiday season of sales, which Macy's blames on an increase in online shopping. Celebratory news for pop superstar Janet Jackson, announcing she's a mom for the first time at the age of 50. A joyous occasion for her and her family, and it's also shining a light on older moms. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren reports on something doctors say they're seeing more often.
At 50 years old, this may be Janet Jackson's most talked about hit.
My husband and I are planning our family.
This week when the singer gave birth, the internet erupted. Congratulations from high-profile friends and family. Criticism from those who say 50 is too old. And questions.
Around 50, 51, many patients are actually going into menopause.
Doctors put the chance of getting pregnant naturally at 50 around 1%. But Dr. Jennifer Wu at New York's Lenox Hill Hospital is seeing more and more older patients, thanks to technology, including the use of younger donor eggs. In 2014, 743 babies were born to women 50 and older. That's up from just 144 in 1997. But it's not without dangers.
There are increased risks for chromosomal problems like Down syndrome. Also for the mom, there's increased risk of high blood pressure and diabetes during the pregnancy.
It was very, very hard.
Single mom Tracy Kahn used donor eggs when she decided to have her children at 49 and 51.
What's the hardest part of having a baby in your 50s?
When I'm in my 80s, Scarlett and Eloise will be in their late 20s, or how am I going to be at their graduations?
And doctors say science is no guarantee.
In the end, there is a limit to what we can accomplish. We don't really want an 80-year-old woman having babies.
An important reality check for women hoping they, too, can push the limits of fertility. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, New York.
As President Obama prepares to leave the White House, our nation's military offered him one final salute. The armed forces held a farewell ceremony today for the president at a base outside the nation's capital. The president thanked them for their sacrifices and said there was, quote, no greater honor than serving as their commander-in-chief. When we come back, the inspiring young man who overcame the odds to achieve something others only dream about. Finally, tonight, it's an academic honor only the best of the best receive every year. And a young man with autism has made the grade with the guidance and sacrifice of his devoted mom, rising all the way to the elite ranks of Rhodes Scholar. Our Harry Smith has his incredible story in our Inspiring America report.
Jory Fleming and his service dog, Daisy, confidently wend their way across the University of South Carolina campus. Jory has a number of disabilities, not the least of which is autism.
My majors are geography and marine science, and then I have a minor in geophysics.
Of course.
So,
what's your grade point average?
Currently it's a 4.0. One more semester. We'll see.
That's kind of a joke, because Jory will be studying for his master's degree next fall at Oxford, one of just 32 Americans to become a Rhodes Scholar.
I was very surprised. I thought they got the name wrong.
To have spent a few minutes with a younger Jory, you'd understand the distance he's traveled. He checked every box on the spectrum. Screaming, hypersensitivity, no eye contact, incapable of communication.
I don't think there was a magic key. There was a lot that I tried and it didn't work. A whole lot that I tried and didn't work.
One thing that did work was Federer. Jory loved birds, and Kelly got him one. Soon, Jory took flight.
Of course, animals don't use language to communicate. So that's kind of like me. I'd rather not use language, too, sometimes.
Jory's mind was filled with images, not words. He figured out a way to connect them.
My goal wasn't to change him. It was really to bring out the best in him.
Jory's mother forsook a medical career to homeschool her son. And together, they have uncovered an important truth.
The road may have had a lot of potholes and bumps in it and diversions, but eventually it got to where it needed to go. Everybody can have something that they can contribute, they just may not know how.
Jory is ready for Oxford. You wonder if Oxford is ready for him. Harry Smith, NBC News, Columbia, South Carolina.
And that's going to do it for us on a Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.